WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Artie Moscowain. The fighting in the former Yugoslavia threatens to widen as the Croatian army joins forces with the Bosnian army to stop Serbian attacks on the safe area of Bihać. Today, NATO extended its threat of airstrikes to protect the four remaining safe areas, including Bihać. Two other safe areas, Srebrenica and Zepa, have already fallen to the Serbs. Also at stake in the war is the future of the Serb-controlled Krajina region that declared independence from Croatia in 1991 after Croatia declared its independence from Yugoslavia. Croatian and Bosnian-Croatian forces have shelled close to the Krajina Serb headquarters of Knin. At the same time, the UN is trying to negotiate a settlement. Slavenka Draculic is a Croatian journalist and author who's been writing about the war for a number of Croatian and American magazines. We caught up with her while she was staying in a small town in the west of Croatia. She says that everyone is talking about the war.
Well, they have quite, different reactions, you know, because nobody actually wants war. Nobody likes war. People don't have to go to the war. They don't. So the reactions are mixed. In a way, young kids, the kids that actually are fighting this war, my daughter's generation, they already have been drafted. They have been in the war. So they're not happy about going into the war. On the other hand, people are saying, well, this is the occasion. This is the situation when we actually have to do something. You know, the situation is really very dangerous because Croatia cannot possibly allow Bihać to be taken by the Serbs, because it's really in Croatia's stomach, if you know how Croatia geographically looks. And also because some time ago, Croatian army took western part of Slavonia, and it was a big victory of the Croatian army there. And I think that people have mixed feeling in the sense saying, well, let's show to these Serbs what they deserve, because nobody is showing them what they really deserve. And what Serbs deserve and what would be the end of this war is a total military defeat. And nobody is going to do it from outside. And therefore, this is how people actually feel, although I think nobody really is looking forward to the war, if you know what I mean. Nobody is that euphoric.
If Bihać falls to the Serbs, what then do you think will happen to Croatia?
Well, then you have actually Serbs really in the stomach of Croatia. Croatia looks like a half moon, you know, and right in the stomach you would have Serbs there, and it would be very dangerous, and they would be probably able to keep this corridor open to all the way to Republika Srpska, to eastern part of Bosnia, which I think it's, Croatia has a very long border, and it's impossible to defend such a border, even with a very big army. I think it's an impossible situation for any country to have such a grouped, strong Serbian forces in strategically and militarily a position that is very difficult to defend.
How strong would you say is the alliance then between Croatia and Bosnia, between the Croatians and the Muslims?
At the moment, it's very strong. It's very strong because after signing Washington Treaty, it was, I think, a very formal thing. They did not actually cooperate on any level. But I think at the moment they realize that their interests are to fight Serbs together. And this is what they are now really seriously doing. So this is for the first time that they are seriously cooperating, you know, in military terms. And we'll see what will come out of that. But at the moment it works. They're fighting together.
Well, you talked about the importance of defending Bihać, but also at issue is the Serb-controlled or Serb-administered Krajina region in Croatia. This has certainly been targeted by Croatian forces. How important is the Krajina region to the Croatian government and to the Croatian people?
Well, it is, first of all, very important from the simple point of view that this is occupied territory. It is a Croatian territory. It is occupied territory. The government there, it's we call it so-called government because it is so-called government. It's a self-proclaimed government. It's no republic of, international standing, of course. So for Croatia, it's important to get Ukraine back. But I think that what they want really seriously, what they're trying seriously to do is to get it back politically, in political sense, by negotiations. Because you have to live with that people. You can't just really march with tanks or shell Ukraine, which is easy. To shell Ukraine is easy. And vice versa, to kill shell Zagreb from Ukraine is also very easy. But you just can't do these kind of things if you have to continue to live with this. It is part of your land, and you have to live with this minority and not with the people who are now governing Ukraine, certainly. But, I mean, you just have to be very cautious, and you have to deal with them in a way so that they can later on live here and feel safe, feel good, feel that, I mean, they don't have any reason to go away, which should have happened in the first place, long before, I mean, the war started. On the other hand, this is symbolically a very important thing, and would be a huge victory to win over Krim.
You know what's, I think, hard to understand, at least from the United States, is that the former Yugoslavia has been described both as an ethnically diverse region of the world and also a place with deep ethnic animosities. And I think it's difficult to figure out what's true about that.
Well, after 4 years, I would have hoped that it is the truth is a little bit more understandable and more sophisticated than that, because this is actually what you've just told me. It's the first reaction. It was the first reaction after the war has started, broke out actually in Croatia. And I have heard that millions and millions and zillions of times. I don't think actually that this is, so to say, popular any longer. Why? Because, of course, in every ethnically diverse country, be it the ex-Soviet Union or be it Croatia, there is no ethnically clean country in Europe today, as we know. So there is mixture everywhere. If it is a situation like in Yugoslavia, if you have several people, several nationalities, several ethnic groups, several languages, several religions, and so on, it's even more complicated. What I think is that we have been living together in peace, and it's not only because we have been ruled by Tito's dictatorship. I think that this rule has been much milder than the rule of the other dictators around Eastern Europe. I think that if we live together and produce children together because there was some kind of a future, because there was some kind of possibility to look forward and do something in your life, not only get preoccupied with your ethnicity and nationality. On the other hand, when the communism started to collapse, people, either in the Soviet Union or in Eastern Europe or in ex-Yugoslavia, they did not have anything to hang on, nothing to fall back on. There were two things that existed, because this is basically feudal society. It was not civil society before that, before communism came. So it was a feudal society. There were two things that people could fall back, two known things in such a situation of a huge changes. And this is religion and nationality. So everybody who has the brains and wants to manipulate is going to use one of these or both of these elements to put people against each other. And this is exactly what had happened.
My guest, Slavenka Draculic, is a Croatian journalist and writer. More after a short break. This is Fresh Air. Journalist and writer Slavenka Draculic lives in Croatia and joins us from a small town on the west coast. What about the possibility of war crimes trials? Do you think that's an important issue?
Yeah, it's symbolically it is a very important issue, but it's very difficult to have these trials now because you can't actually reach the people like Karadzic, you know. It's impossible to do it, so it has more than anything a very strong symbolic meaning, because people have to believe in that there is some justice, that somebody is looking upon what they're doing, that somebody, that the justice will finally arrive, even if it at very last moment or very late and so on, you know. Justice is never quick, it seems to me, but it is symbolically very, very important, and I myself would like to see these people trialed.
So is war very much on your mind?
Yes, very much, very much. It is, you know, from listening to the first BBC News in the evening to the last BBC News in the evening, and then in the morning, and then in the evening, and also watching CNN, watching all the television programs, Sky News, reading papers. We are a journalist family, so we read about 5-6 papers in all different languages and discuss it all the time because we have a circle around us with, I mean, they're all journalists, so we are very much involved in following up and so on, you know. There is, however, one thing that we haven't mentioned or that you haven't asked me about, and that is, to me, feels somehow a little bit strange.
What's that?
Well, this is this Muslims of Bosnia and what is actually happening to them, because they are the real Jews of the end of the 20th century. You know, these are people who have been exterminated, if we are speaking in this, and ethnically cleansed in these terms, you know. And it makes you feel so weak as a human being. It makes you feel so terribly impotent just to watch these people disappearing, being displaced, being killed, because they are the people who are really suffering, and nobody is doing anything about them. I think this is a real tragedy and a real shame of Europe today.
What do you think you then have the power to do as a writer and a journalist and someone who's so clearly concerned, disturbed, upset about what's happening in your country and in Serbia and in Bosnia as well?
I have been doing what I think that I should be doing in the last 4 years, and it is writing. I've written this book, The Balkan Express, and then I almost written another book because I'm writing all the time about that. However, of course, after 4 years, I felt also I had to pay my debts in a sense, in emotional sense, in the sense of feeling that writing is not enough. Writing confronted with what is happening and what is going on and what will go on is absolutely nothing. And I think that I would like to leave writing about the war behind, because everything has been clearly said. So I think I have become quite disillusioned with the power of the words. And I think that to help perhaps one family in a much more concrete way, it means much more than writing it, than writing itself.
As it looks, it looks as if the Croats and the Serbs are more actively and more aggressively fighting each other. And it also looks as if America and the West are standing by. They're certainly not doing anything to prevent the fighting. What is the view there on Western action or Western inaction as it applies to the Balkans?
Well, if I have to summarize it in one single word, it would be, it's a joke. So any talks about NATO bombarding this and that, it's a joke. Any kind of talks about UN negotiations doing this or that, I mean, UN is really a standard joke. And the West is standing by, and I think that one of the elements in this new situation is, for example, this, that Tudjman has some kind of agreement even to do what he wants to do, because these people, that is the West, are in this way buying their conscience off, because they don't have to do anything any longer. I think everybody's standing by and on the verge of complete withdrawal, and this is what I also said at the beginning. And it is, we are used to that now, you know. We had hopes much longer. Long ago, but in the last year, I don't think there are any hopes or any intervention or any serious West doing anything serious in this region. So, I mean, it really is a joke.
Could the West do anything to win back the confidence of the people in the Balkans?
Yes, a military defeat Serbs.
Just that difficult or just that hard, but just that simple?
Yeah, just that simple, and only that. Nothing else would work. And nothing else would function, and nothing else would bring a real peace immediately.
Well, again,
I know it sounds harsh. I wouldn't expect myself to say these things 4 years ago, but, I mean, after seeing what one sees being here present, after 4 years, you see that there is no other solution, and any serious military expert, any serious politician will agree with that, I'm quite sure.
Well, I thank you very much, Slavenka Drakulic, for joining us today on Fresh Air. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Slavenka Drakulic is a writer and journalist based in Croatia. Her books are How We Survive Communism and Even Left and The Balkan Express. This is Fresh Air.